On Air with JT. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. This is a JT exclusive interview.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for listening or watching a brand new episode of On Air with JT. And of course, as you know, my name is Justin Thomas, but you can call me JT. And again, thank you so much for all of your support. I really, really do appreciate it. You can listen to this show exclusively on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and all of my links and platforms are there. You can also watch the full episodes and clips, behind the scenes, exclusive content at my YouTube channel. Just type in On Air with JT. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and everything is right there. And of course, if you are a business owner, a brand, a company, and you're interested in advertising on this podcast, my social media platforms, and my new podcasts that are launching this year, then send me an email. Of course, serious inquiries only. You can email me at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. Yes, sir.
You are listening to On Air with JT. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. Caution, you are listening to On Air with JT, a fully uncensored, raw, and unfiltered show. JT doesn't give a fuck. You are listening to On Air with JT. Pop culture, news, rants, interviews, serious discussions that the mainstream media won't talk about, and so much more. This is On Air with JT. You are listening to On Air with JT.
How's it going, everybody? You are listening to On Air with JT, and I have a very, very, very special interview with Zach Goody, lead singer of Smash Mouth. How are you doing today, Zach?
I'm doing great. Wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course, man. How does it feel? I've got to ask you the first question. How does it feel now to, you know, be the lead singer of Smash Mouth?
How does it feel? Kind of moist, a little bit. No, it feels great, man. It's been super fun. It's been already almost a year. So I got a bunch of shows under my belt, and I didn't really have a whole lot of time to second guess it or anything, because our very first show was in front of like 30,000-40,000 people at a wow. festival last year. So I just stepped right on stage in front of all those people, and it was an amazing show. And I'd prepared for a long time, practiced a lot, and I was pretty comfortable with, you know, what I was doing. And we stepped out there and had a killer show. And so we kind of started out at the top and didn't really have time to second guess it. So yeah, it's been awesome. The crowds have been amazing. We played around all summer, and you know, these last few months have been a little bit slow over the holidays, just, you know, one or two shows a month here and there. But then we're gearing up to do a bunch more shows. So we'll be back at it. It's been great.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So you were born in New York City?
I was born. I noticed are you in Massachusetts?
I am. That's what I was going to ask you, because I seen that did you live in Provincetown?
Yeah, I grew up so I was born in New York, but then my parents moved to P-Town like when I was a baby, basically. So I grew up most of my life in Provincetown, but then my parents split up and my dad moved back to New York. So I kind of went back and forth for a good part of my childhood. So I lived in New York for a few years and went back to P-Town. But yeah, I lived like most of my childhood in Provincetown. I graduated Provincetown High School, the whole thing.
So I have to ask you, you know, and I'm sure you know this, but just like with the music scene, there hasn't been like a very successful musician that's come out of Boston or Massachusetts. The music scene is very, you know, strange in Boston, and there's so much talent. But you know, like looking back now, like let me backtrack a little bit. When you were living in P-Town, like, were you pursuing a career in music or have like aspirations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There were several, you know, notable bands that came out of the area that I was aware of at the time. I mean, this is the 80s and, you know, 90s. And, you know, I mean, obviously Aerosmith and the Cars
are the two
biggest.
Yeah.
And then the Pixies, which were one of my favorite bands of all time.
Of course.
Yeah. And then there was like punk bands like Slapshot and Bullet La Volta and, you know, Mighty Bosstones, obviously Tang Records was a big deal.
I just talked to Dickie the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's in a band now with Greg from Smash Mouth, the guitar player who wrote all the hits and is a great dude and super talented producer, songwriter. He has a new band with Dickie. I don't know if they talked about that.
I did not know that. No. I'm trying to get the interview with Dickie. It would be great just because, you know, they started in Boston and, you know,
yeah,
it'd be great to have them on.
Well, they were on Tang Records, which Curtis, I've known Curtis for 30 years. He put out a ton of important albums. I started out super young doing music and theater. I was kind of like a theater kid in New York. Like those years that I was there, I was like 9, 10, 11 years old.
Mm.
I went to like performing arts school. I went to acting camp. I did an off-Broadway play when I was 9 years old. And then when I moved back to P-Town when I was in like seventh grade, I ended up, you know, being in tons of plays. I was the lead. I was Danny Zuko in Grease. I did all kinds of theater. And so I was kind of like into the whole musical theater route from a super young age.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of classically trained. Like I didn't like go hardcore, like full on classical music or opera, but I did a lot of, you know, vocal training and acting classes and things like that. So that's kind of how I thought my, sorry, helicopter's flying overhead right now.
No worries.
I'm in LA. So it's a hourly occurrence over here.
Yeah. I was just in San Francisco.
Let me walk inside my studio here and close the door. It's a nice day out, so I'm walking around my backyard. So I kind of was pursuing that theater route from a super young age. And then when I kind of got into high school is when I discovered, you know, Led Zeppelin and, you know, and rock music more. And I kind of started growing my hair longer and getting into the, you know, all the bad stuff teenagers get into. And that's kind of when I went the rock and roll route and started going and, you know, joining bands when I was like 15. And I've really been a lead singer for a band since then.
Wow.
You know, and pursuing it for years. And I had bands in high school in Provincetown. You know, shout out to the Reach and the 40 Thieves. 40 Thieves are still around Boston.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Hawaii for a few years. I met some guys in a band and they ended up moving to San Diego, which is how I kind of like moved to San Diego to be their lead singer in the 90s. And that was like my main home base for many years, you know,
okay,
being in the music scene in San Diego in the 90s.
Okay, I see. And I want to get back to the music thing, but I just have a question because I noticed that you have a ton of voiceover, you know, work. And
mm-hmm.
you obviously mentioned you've done, you know, acting and theater and things like that. And I myself, you know, I actually just turned 29 yesterday and I plan on moving to LA to really pursue a career in acting. And
nice.
I know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I know it's a little bit, you know, later on that I'm getting into that. And, you know, I know the, you know, the odds and everything, but,
the odds are bad no matter what age you are. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, definitely. But I was just wondering if you had any advice, on starting off, because I never took like theater or, you know, acting classes or anything like that. But like I've, you know, done some like reenactment scenes I've put up on my Instagram.
Sure.
And stuff. And I've gotten, you know, some good compliments from people that are in the industry. But,
I mean, it's sort of like anything else, is that, you know, whoever said it was, it Woody Allen or whoever, you know, showing up is, you know, 50% of the battle. So honestly, like, especially with voiceover work and with acting, I mean, you have to physically be in, you know, where the parts are.
Exactly.
It's a little easier now for voiceover. You could do it from your house, I guess. But, you know, if you have to show up and be, you know, do the work, be there, you know, with voiceover stuff, a lot of it is like, you know, almost all of it is like, hey, we need this, you know, red deadline. It's always the next day or that day is the deadline, you know? Yeah. So I imagine lots of people are on the list, but, you know, who's going to be at their house that hour with their recording equipment set up in a quiet place where they can send it in, label it correctly, you know, like all that stuff. So
yeah.
Just the preparation and the deadlines and the being there is really half the battle, because you can't, you know, you got to be ready when your opportunity comes.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, obviously you should do the training and, you know, get good at your craft or whatever it is. You know, it's always, you don't have to have lessons or be formally trained, but I mean, it's always good to know the rules so you can break the rules, you know?
Definitely.
So that's a big part of it, just showing up and being, you know, being where the action is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, if you grew up in Massachusetts, it's a big, that was like my main thing is like, there's no opportunities there.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, just in terms of film, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but like so many movies are being filmed or based in Boston or in Massachusetts, because, you know, it's kind of like how like movies were being filmed like in the 90s in like Toronto,
right,
or Canada, because,
oh really,
they give tax breaks with the studios and things like that. So there's so many movies that have been filmed.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was only Ben Affleck and Matt Damon that filmed.
Yeah,
stuff,
right, or Mark Wahlberg, or
right.
But exactly. And you've done voiceover work with Taco Bell, Mattel, Tostitos, Hot Wheels, Dr. Pepper, Philadelphia Cream Cheese.
Yeah,
that's awesome, dude. Like,
I it was sort of a thing that I got into about maybe only about 5 years ago. Mainly just because my buddy Farron Hoover, who's actually a Berkeley guy, we ride motorcycles out here together and we play in some bands together, and his day job is the creative director over at Yesian Music, which is sort of in LA. There's these things called, they call them like jingle houses. So it's okay. Sort of like a music house. So basically they're the ones that when, you know, Doritos wants the new song or the new whatever, they go and say, here's what we want. We want a, you know, a 20-year-old, you know, surfer vibe and blah, blah, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together, the houses put together these things. We want a reggae song, but we want it with these lyrics and da, 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 da. And then they, you know, all the different places will compete and, you know, send in their two or three ideas each. And then they hone them down and they, you know, 90% of the time you don't get the gig and they use somebody else, or they do it themselves, or they copy it, or they don't. It's just like, it's a very competitive industry.
Yeah, definitely.
So my buddy Farron, that's what he does all day long. You know, he'll compose, you know, not just for commercials, but, you know, for film or for TV shows or for placements or sync or all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would just, you know, I have a pretty versatile voice. I could sing kind of any style, and I have pretty good pitch. So like I can do stuff pretty quickly. So, you know, he would just send me stuff here and there. Hey, I need a voice for this like Super Bowl commercial. You know, basically just doing demo stuff. So not the actual commercial, but like we would write something and submit it.
Okay.
And so, you know, sometimes they get used, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just pay you, you know, a little bit of money to use your voice to submit it as like a demo fee.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that for a while. And then this Taco Bell thing came about, and we sort of wrote, I can't believe I'm talking about my Taco Bell work in a Smash Mouth interview.
I know, I apologize. I just had to ask, but was that a TV commercial?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the quick version, because it was actually probably the biggest gig I ever got until Smash Mouth happened.
Yeah.
And this is in 2019, so it was right before COVID. So basically, long story short, we did the jingle. Like the whole idea was, we want a punk rock commercial. Here's the references. We want it to be like, you know, mention these things. It's like a 30-second ad for radio, maybe TV. And so we came up with a song, and it was like, you know, we wrote this punk rock song, and it was like, what does everyone want tonight? Tacos. You know, it's like, so you like sing along, you know. And it was pretty good. They gave us, you know, this sounds too, you know, change this to this or whatever, you know, it sounds too British or not British enough or whatever the comments were. So we kind of just like revised it and kept making it tighter, and we kept submitting it. And then, like, you know, I didn't expect anything to come out of it. And then all of a sudden, they're like, we love it. It's a go. And we're going to film the commercial like next week in Budapest. Wow. And we're using the song. And the best part about it, it was a SAG job, which normally these things are not a SAG job, but they'll be like, hey, this pays whatever amount of money, you know, $1,000, $5,000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And this is a SAG job. So it's like full pay. And I started getting checks, the residuals. And I was like, oh my God, I should be doing this for a living. I just made more in 2 weeks than I made in 30 years being in a local band.
That was
a pleasant surprise. And I realized it was kind of like a skill set that I didn't know that I had.
Mm.
So I just kind of, you know, but the bad thing was the whole concept of the commercial, they could see it on my website or whatever, is that it was like, grab your friends, it's a party pack, share everything, da da da. And so then like COVID hit like the next day. And
oh,
so like,
man.
So they were supposed to renew it and make a ton of more money. And they just pulled it and completely canceled it, never aired again.
Oh, wow.
And, but we had a good like 6 month run. So that was good. But, they were supposed to renew it for March Madness and that was March 2020. So you know what happened then.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, so that kind of like led me into that little side career hustle.
Okay. That's really interesting. And just one question that will lead us into the Smash Mouth. You know, it's funny, I was, you know, doing some research and you were part of, you know, a band, a group, you know, cover band, Geezer. And it's so funny because I ironically just interviewed Scott Schreiner of Weezer.
Oh, yeah. I was looking on your website and I was like, oh, I know him. I've met him. We've actually played with Weezer twice as Geezer.
Oh, really? That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I wish you had known that before you interviewed me.
Yeah, I know.
Give me a little name drop.
I know. I didn't see that. But yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, well, the whole Geezer concept is sort of misunderstood. It's basically like an anti-tribute band.
Oh,
so
okay.
it's sort of like when people say, like, oh, you're in a Weezer tribute band. It's not a Weezer tribute band. It's basically like, that's like saying like Steel Panther is a Bon Jovi tribute band.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's basically like, it's sort of like parodying the idea of a cover band.
Mm-hmm.
So we dress up like old men and it's like we do 90s songs, but it's like done by men in their 90s and it's sort of like half comedy. We have a whole Beastie Boys like 90s rap set that we do in the middle of it. We've done comedy clubs. It's like a lot of mashups. So it's a really creative. There are some Weezer songs, some shows more than others if we get hired to do it, more Weezer. But in general, it's sort of like a parody of like, you know, of the whole tribute band concept. And it's like, it's sort of like a performance art, a comedy thing more than anything.
Satire a little bit, like
satire. So but the very first show we did, which was like, I don't know, back in 2009, I want to say, it was as a goof because Weezer was doing that tour. I want to say it was like called the Hootenanny tour maybe. And every town they played, the radio stations would have a contest and everyone shows up at the radio station and plays, like they get like toy instruments and they play along with, I think it was Beverly Hills and one other song, maybe Island in the Sun. What's the two of their easier songs?
Beverly Hills.
I think it was Island.
Yeah. One of my favorite song is Perfect Situation. I think that's a great song.
Oh yeah. We did that. The drummer sings that one in our version. We don't do it that often, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, we just called them. We were friends with the guys at the radio station in San Diego, and we're like, hey, can we come down and like we're Weezer's grandpa's Geezer? Can we be the backing band for the auditions and like just like bring our instruments?
Yeah.
So like sure. So we showed up and just like totally made fools of ourselves and goofed around and like, you know, brought our gear, and it was like all these like contest winners playing along with like paper accordions and like, you know, whatever, like, you know, tambourines and like. So they picked like, I forgot how many people, it was like 20 or 30 people to be on stage with Weezer, and like, hey, you guys can go too. Why don't you guys go do it too? So we went along and, we played outside in the parking lot, like by the radio, by the 91X, like radio station, like by their booth and played outside. And then when Weezer played, we got to go on stage with Weezer. And so our very first show ever was, in front of like 10,000 people on stage with Weezer.
that must have been very surreal.
Yeah. And then a couple years later, we played with them again in a really cool situation. It was for a secret. It's on YouTube. It's like the thing Kia Cars was doing for a while called The Show.
Okay.
It was called The Show, like SHHH, like like a secret show.
Mm.
And what happened was a bunch of people went down to Venice Beach. They built a stage on the basketball court, like where White Men Can't Jump was filmed, like the famous Venice basketball court.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people came down to sing karaoke to Weezer songs with us as the backing band. And then they would, whoever won the karaoke would win tickets to go see Weezer that night in downtown LA.
Wow.
That was when that album came out, that Everything Will Be All Right in the End, a couple years ago, maybe 10 years ago already. Oh. And so anyway, what they didn't know is that Weezer was actually there backstage the whole time. And after we played our stupid little set and the karaoke things, we were like, oh, we have one more singer who wants to sing a song. His name is Rivers. Can you come out here, please? and then they came out and took our gear. Like, literally, we handed them our gear and they played a full Weezer set for free for surprise on Venice Boardwalk for the contest. And they all got to go to the show. So that was super cool.
And this is on YouTube?
Yeah, you just look for look for Weezer the show. It's like it was a Kia promotion.
Okay, definitely will look it up. So Zach, so going from just doing all this work, whether it's from DJing, voiceover work, being a musician, and then getting I don't know how it came about, whether it was a phone call, an email, or whatever. In finding out that you have the opportunity to be the lead singer of Smash Mouth,
mm-hmm.
what was that like? I mean, I'm sure it was very. I don't know the right word. It's shocking, but were you a little surprised just because of multi-platinum Grammy nominated band and. It's a big thing, it's a big deal.
It is. It was. It was really a strange, it was one of those moments in your life, or in my life that, they don't come around very often. And, it was just sort of like a, do I go for it or not moment. I saw an ad, I literally saw an ad somewhere on social media and it was like, hey, Smash Mouth, due to Steve is retiring and they're searching for a new lead singer and, they want to do this one time and him to be a permanent member. And, that was basically it. Like send your info to this email address. So I was like, all right, why not? I'm as good as anybody else. I got some tattoos and, I got a dad bod. I could rock this gig. And, so I sent him an email like saying that, it's kind of a goof, just like, hey, here's my YouTube page and here's me singing Beastie Boys. Here's me doing Weezer. Here's me doing the Beatles. Here's me doing, versatile, whatever. And honestly did not expect to hear back. And they got back to me pretty quickly, like same day. And they're like, hey, it was like, hey, it looks good. Can you like send an audition? Sing whatever it was, All Star, Walking on the Sun into your phone or whatever. And I was kind of right in the middle of like the whole, I'd just come out of the whole COVID, got extra recording gear. I had been doing a lot of like YouTube stuff and covers and just like staying busy during COVID. So I was like, kind of like had all my gear all set up in my studio and I wanted to do a super professional, like find the backing track and like do it to the album and do a whole professional thing. And for some reason that day, none of my gear, I just could not get Logic to work. I couldn't record. I was going crazy. It's just one of those days, right? When your gear, it's like ghost in the machine.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to just do it. Just kick it old school. So I found like the karaoke track on YouTube and I played it like on a boombox behind me. And I just put my phone on a tripod and just like sang it live with the track behind me, and recorded it like that and sent it to, and it's, came out pretty good. And I sent it in and they were like, this is great. Now do the other song, like send All Star. So I did that one. And, I found out later that like, they loved those because it was so raw. And it was like, it was just me singing it live with no tricks and no effects. And, a lot of other people like recorded their songs professionally. And, so they liked it. And we kind of just started the conversation. With Ron, who's one of the managers, and he would just call me and tell me about the situation and, if I was the right fit. And just sort of progressed from there. And then, I live in LA and they're based in San Jose, which is only like an hour flight. Okay. So they flew me up to Vibe with Paul, who's like the leader of the band, the bass player, founding member. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of see if like we connected, if, we were on the same page. And so I did that and hung out with him for the day and like jammed a couple songs. Like he played bass to like a live recording they had without the vocals and I sang and it sounded good and he was super cool and we have a lot of the same musical influences, you know, we're roughly from the same, he's older than me, but not that much. So it's like, we kind of have the same background in terms of like punk rock and, you know, reggae music and alternative and, '80s and '90s influences, things like that. So we totally got along on things like Devo and the Pixies and, you know, old punk rock and stuff. So yeah, so we got along really well. And, I went home and then just kind of progressed from there. And, I guess they had a bunch of other people they're considering, and they narrowed it down to the final four. And they're like, "Hey, you're in the final four." I'm like, is this actually happening? This is bizarre. Like, am I going to be in Smash Mouth? Like, that was not part of my plan. It was definitely not something I ever thought about before.
I don't mean to cut you off, but was that like the defining moment for you, or were there moments before where you're like, "Damn, I did it." Like.
Well, no, I didn't think. I mean, I was like, of all the people in the world, they're gonna pick me. Like, it just didn't seem. In my mind's eye, I didn't think that I was a good fit. Mainly because I have a very distinctive singing voice in my own voice. Like, I have a very sort of like, my natural singing voice is a higher register. I have a pretty high range and like. You know, I was doing like a yacht rock band at the time, singing like Journey and Steely Dan and, you know, things like Hall & Oates, you know, things like that. Like I was doing like a Beatles project. It's like, you know, very like challenging vocal stuff. So I listened to his voice and I'm like, he has a cool voice, but it's very different. It's a lower register. He has more of a baritone, kind of chesty, throaty voice. And my voice is more of a head voice. So I was honestly not sure whether I'm like, there has to be someone else out there that's a better match, you know, vocal match. Mm. But, you know, one of the earliest moments where I thought it might be possible was when I didn't really tell anybody for a while. I kind of kept it a secret. And I, my drummer at the time, Bobby, I was like, I called him up, or I was like, so this is really kind of out of left field. This is like really bizarre, but I think I might audition for Smash Mouth. And like, and he just goes, "Oh, you're totally gonna get it." I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Oh yeah, you're perfect. You're totally gonna get it."
That's a good friend. Like, really? That's a good friend.
And it totally like put that in my mind, and I was like, "Oh, maybe I could do this." Mm-hmm. And when I actually started to sing the songs out loud, and prepare and practice, it was like a super easy fit. Just like totally fit with my voice really well. And I don't really sound exactly like Steve, or you know, even that much, I don't think, but apparently when everything is on top and like the music all comes in and I sing along, it sounds, people are like, "You sound just like him." I'm like, I really don't hear it, but they seem to like it.
That's great.
And it just kind of clicked. Like, we all played the final part of the story is I went back up the final four and we all auditioned in person with the whole band. Everyone flew in, and they guess they auditioned all four guys the same day. And I was the last one, and it went well. Like, it just totally clicked. Like, we did like six or seven songs, and it, you know, sounded really good. And I'm like, "Oh, this is pretty good." And everyone was cool, and you know, all the guys were super nice and professional dudes. And then I just went back. I flew back to LA that night and just thought about it. It was actually Christmas Eve.
Oh wow!
It was the day before Christmas Eve when I went up there. So the next day was Christmas Eve. I'm sitting at home, And I just like checked like my Instagram, and it was like Smash Mouth started following you, Sound Management started following you, Randy Cook started following you, Sean Hurwitz started following. I'm like, "Huh, that's weird." And then the managers called me, like, or like whatever, messaged me, and they're like, "Hey, do you have time for a phone call tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah,
definitely."
And yeah, it was either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And they just called me up and we discussed stuff, and they're like, "Hey, we want to offer you the position." Wow. I was like,
That's
wow.
awesome, man.
So that was a nice Christmas present last year. It was 1 year to the day exactly when my whole family got COVID the year before. So it was a much better Christmas last year.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. So
yeah, and then we had to keep it secret for like 3 or 4 months while we recorded some songs and practiced. And we debuted that new song we recorded, the Never Gonna Give You Up, Rick Astley cover. We did it live on K-Rock with Kevin Kenney.
Yeah.
And that was like another dream come true. And it was like, you know, every Southern California musician, like their whole career, they want to be on K-Rock. And I tried a million times throughout my life to get songs on, I could never get on K-Rock. And next thing you know, they're like, "Hey, you're going to be on the air live."
That's so cool.
That was a trip too.
That's so cool. So, Zach, what are you currently, are you guys, I talked to, you know, Paul, and you got, he said that you guys are coming out with a project soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have any upcoming shows or anything in the works?
Yeah,
or?
We do. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Okay. The way the shows work is, like, a lot of them, like, they're pretty much mostly flyaway dates. So, like, we'll fly into Dallas, play, you know, Saturday, fly home. So it's like every weekend we'll play somewhere else, as opposed to, like, getting on a bus and playing three or four shows a week. We'll play two or three shows a week, but just fly out sometimes on a bus. But a lot of times they call them flyaway dates. So, it's honestly, like, every, you know, right now it's a little bit slow because the holidays and stuff, but we'll have stuff all summer long. But the way it works is, like, some places you can't announce because, you know, you might be playing this part of Florida and you can't announce the other Florida show until this one's already, whatever the logistics are, that, you know, you have to kind of wait for the promoters to announce them.
Of course.
But we do have a lot of shows on the books, most of which we have not announced yet.
Okay.
But the ones that are public so far, like we just did Kauai and Maui over the holidays. That was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we got to bring our whole families and stuff. That was pretty cool. And then, we did like a private show in Dallas last weekend. We have a few weeks off now. And then our next one is actually Disney World. We're doing two shows at Disney World, March 11th, 12th and 13th, whatever that Sunday and Monday is, March 11th and 12th, 13th, that weekend. And we get to bring the families and stuff. That should be, it's sort of like an annual tradition. They have a whole concert series they do there every year at Epcot. And it's like big bands every weekend.
Oh, wow. So, that's really cool. That should be a really good experience.
Yeah. So it's kind of a strange situation where I guess the bands play three sets a day, but they're short sets. So it's like a 30-minute set.
Okay.
So they basically want you to kind of play the hits and then kind of mix up the rest of the set. Cause like some of the same people come back to the shows, you know, more than once. So you kind of like, you kind of have to mix up a little bit, but it's sort of like, it should be an interesting kind of thing. I've never done that before. So it's like, you know, three sets, 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m.
Yeah.
On March 12th and 13th at the America Garden Theater.
It's a lot.
So we're doing that. And then I have a few DJ gigs coming up in L.A. And then the only other show that we have publicly announced so far is June 3rd in Alaska.
Nice.
We're doing the Matanuska Brewing Company. It's a big music venue there. They have big bands come in there. So that should be a really cool one. Never been to Alaska before.
Oh, yeah, I haven't either, but it's funny, I just interviewed Zach from Portugal the Man, and, you know, they're from Alaska, very talented. Zach, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, I really appreciate it, and honestly, when you guys announce more tour dates, if you guys come to Boston or, you know, the Northeast, I'm definitely going to be there. And I'm trying, man,
I haven't done my homecoming show yet, I really want us to play the Beachcomber in Wellfleet.
Oh, that would be very nice. It's a great venue.
But yeah, and then just to finish the thought from 2 seconds ago. In terms of recording, if people want to hear the new stuff, we do have Never Gonna Give You Up, which has been out since last summer. We put out another new original song that Paul wrote called Fourth of July. That's been out since Fourth of July.
Okay.
And then we have another new song called Underground Sun that's also coming out maybe this month, super soon. And those are all on Universal Music, like major labels, so it'll be available everywhere. And then we have a bunch more in the pipeline where it's kind of like finishing up. So hopefully we'll have a new album next summer. I'm writing some songs, and hopefully we will get those recorded before the summertime. That's the goal anyway, so we'll see how that goes.
Great. I'm very excited. I can't wait to hear the new music. I'm very excited. And honestly, Zach, I wish you the most success and happiness this year. And I know you're going to kill it. And you are killing it, man. You know, you're doing your thing. You know, you've accomplished so much. And, you know, you're just going to keep progressing and, you know, just keep it up. Keep killing it.
I hope so, man. Come out to everyone out there that's listening. Come to a show. It's super fun. I tell everyone, you know, people you might consider like, oh, I only know one song or, you know, there's two hits, but they actually have like three number one, you know, two number ones and a number two song. And then several covers you would know, obviously I'm a believer, and a few others.
Of course.
And, you know, and a handful of other top 40 hits. There's actually like seven songs that anybody would know just off the street, like definitely seven songs you will know for sure. And probably more if you're a Smash Mouth fan.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's honestly like such a fun time. And like, you know, when you're playing a show we play for 90 minutes, usually it's a long time. And you know, every third song is a hit. So
yeah,
every second or third song is a hit. So it really, people are super engaged. all ages come and families, and the whole Shrek thing is like a thing still. And it's just an awesome, super fun time. So if you see us coming to your town, come by and say hi for sure.
Definitely. Everyone, definitely, if you're listening or watching, definitely go check out a Smash Mouth show. You definitely not be disappointed. And I can't wait to check it out when you guys come towards my way.
All right, my man. Yeah,
thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It was a pleasure. And I wish you the ultimate success and happiness, like I said, this year. And
thank you. You too, Justin. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, bye.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for listening or watching a brand new episode of On Air with JT. And of course, as you know, my name is Justin Thomas, but you can call me JT. And again, thank you so much for all of your support. I really, really do appreciate it. You can listen to this show exclusively on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and all of my links and platforms are there. You can also watch the full episodes and clips, behind the scenes, exclusive content at my YouTube channel. Just type in On Air with JT. Just head over to onairwithjt.com and everything is right there. And of course, if you are a business owner, a brand, a company, and you're interested in advertising on this podcast, my social media platforms, and my new podcasts that are launching this year, then send me an email. Of course, serious inquiries only. You can email me at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. Yes, sir.
You are listening to On Air with JT. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. Caution, you are listening to On Air with JT, a fully uncensored, raw, and unfiltered show. JT doesn't give a fuck. You are listening to On Air with JT, pop culture, news, rants, interviews, serious discussions that the mainstream media won't talk about, and so much more. This is On Air with JT. You are listening to On Air with JT. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com.